Chapter 14. Dustin. Amy parked in front of Ace's. I was off balance when I got out of the truck. I'd been reeling since she began her explanation of everything that had happened, and now I had to fight the urge to lean on the truck for a minute until I found my equilibrium. Or, even more tempting, put my arms around her and promise her, as if I had the authority and the foreknowledge to do so, that everything would be all right. Somehow I kept some semblance of dignity and composure, though. As we walked inside, I said, "Do you want to sit in the bar, or?" One of the dozen or so television screens caught my eye, and my stomach lurched at the sight of a cowboy swinging his arm around as a bull bucked and flailed and tried to throw his idiot ass. I coughed into my fist.
"Actually, why don't we sit in the restaurant, if that's all right with you?"
Amy shrugged. She glanced up at the TVs and scowled.
"Not a fan of rodeos either?"
"Not particularly, no," I muttered. To the hostess, I said, "Two, please." She smiled and picked up two menus.
"Right this way."
We followed her into the dining area. It was a week night, so there weren't so many people here tonight. Just a few occupied booths and tables, plus a couple rows of people on the dance floor, going through the motions in time with some upbeat country music that wasn't as loud as it was on Fridays and Saturdays. The hostess seated us at a booth under a stuffed mule deer head and a black-and-white framed photo of an old steam engine. When the waitress came, we both ordered beers, and she left us to peruse the laminated single-page menus. Our beers arrived, but we weren't yet ready to order, so she left us to make our decisions. Cheering broke out in the bar, and Amy and I both glanced toward it before shaking our heads and returning our attention to the menus.
"I've always hated rodeos," she said. "The way they treat the animals makes me crazy."
I threw another glare toward the televisions. "Yeah, I figured you wouldn't want to watch it any more than I do."
"Not your thing either?"
"No." The word came out more sharply than I intended, so I added, "Always hated them, but..." I gestured dismissively toward the bar. "I have even less use for the damn things now than I did a few years ago." Over the top of her menu, she raised her eyebrows.
"Is that right?"
"Long story." I picked up my own menu.
"I just told you a long and crazy one," she said with a shrug.
"Probably don't want to hear mine on top of it."
"Oh, I don't know."
She laid her menu down.
"Misery loves company sometimes, you know."
I chewed the inside of my cheek. "True, it does."
"You don't have to, though."
She absently ran a hand through that gorgeous dark hair.
"I'm just curious."
I shifted a little in my seat. "Long story short," I said, "one of the top bull riders on the circuit is married to my ex-wife." Amy grimaced.
"Oh, ouch."
"Tell me about it." I laughed bitterly. "God, that sounds like a damn country song. My wife left me for a damn bull rider. Oh, I guess I'm just a cowboy cliche." She smirked.
"Sounds like we're both country songs waiting to happen."
I laughed dryly. "Maybe we should cut an album." Bringing her beer bottle up to her lips, Amy said,
"Oh, honey, you haven't heard me sing. I wouldn't even need the depressing lyrics to make anybody cry."
She laughed, and though it was half-hearted, it was good to see her smile. Really good. "That bad, huh?" I asked as I picked up my own beer. She nodded, and the mischievous smile was a relief, a spine-tingling relief, even though her eyes didn't reflect it with much enthusiasm.
"Let's just say no one ever twists my arm to go do karaoke."
"Well, I won't twist your arm for it either," I said. "I hate karaoke."
"Me too."
She put her beer down and eyed me like she had a thought she wasn't sure about speaking. "Something on your mind?" I asked before taking a long, cold swallow of beer.
"Just curious about something."
She rested her elbows on the table and clasped her hands beneath her chin.
"You don't have to answer if you don't want to."
"Shoot."
"How long have you been divorced?"
"How long?" I looked up at the ceiling. "Oh, let's see. Their daughter will be 4 next month, so I looked at Amy. About 4.5 years. Amy's jaw dropped.
Oh, extra ouch.
Yeah, exactly. I exhaled hard.
Oh, man, I can't believe it's been that long, 4.5 years.
I whistled. Time flies.
Yeah, I know the feeling.
Amy folded her hands on top of the placemat.
So when you were married, were you happy before things fell apart?
I tapped my fingers on my beer bottle and looked at the table between us. It had been ages since I'd thought back to my marriage with anything other than bitterness, and now Amy's question gave me pause. For the first time in a long time, I let the film reel of memories play back while I watched with an objective eye, and then I finally spoke. I think we were, for a while. The first couple of years, anyway. Then we just sort of drifted apart. I absently ran my finger through the condensation on the side of the bottle. And it took me a long time to realize that had happened. I sighed. It was only later I found out that by the time I'd figured it out and tried to do something about it, she'd already been seeing him for a good 6 months.
Wow,
she said. Yeah, we tried to bury the hatchet, but I trailed off and took a swallow of beer to rinse the bitterness out of my mouth.
Sometimes there's too much damage, Amy said. Better to leave it buried.
Exactly.
How long were you married?
5 years, I said. Damn, I've been divorced almost as long as I was married. The waitress's timing was amazing, because after that incredibly uplifting discussion, I was no closer to figuring out what I wanted to eat, but I damn sure needed another beer. And that was when she showed up. Apparently, Amy needed one too. Once we were alone again, Amy worked at the label on her mostly empty bottle.
So, have you dated much since then?
She paused, color rushing into her cheeks.
I'm sorry, I'm not trying to pry, just trying to get the hang of the idea of not being attached anymore. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, I know what you mean. And to answer your question, not really. I laughed humorlessly. This town isn't exactly teeming with single women, and I don't know, I guess I just wanted to take some time to catch my breath, regroup, and go from there. So I focused on the horses. I paused, looking at, more like through, the menu in front of me. Then I woke up one morning and realized it's been 4.5 years.
I can relate.
I met her eyes. How so?
I knew I needed to get out of my marriage.
She watched her thumb curl the edge of her paper placemat.
But I kept telling myself to hang in there a little longer until I got all my ducks in a row.
Slowly tearing off the edge of the placemat, she sighed.
Until I woke up one morning and realized over a decade had passed, and I was no closer to lining up any ducks than I was back then.
I guess time flies when you're having miserable doubts, I muttered.
Yes. Yes, it fucking does.
Our fresh beers arrived, and we both dove in. Well, in between finally giving the waitress our orders for dinner. Not that I was particularly hungry, but if this was going to be a multi-beer night, I needed to eat something, so we both ordered steaks. The waitress, probably relieved she didn't need to deal with us again for a little while, left. And I looked across the table at Amy as I pushed my beer aside. So, do you mind if I ask about your husband? I mean, any more than I already have? Amy shook her head.
No, go ahead.
I hesitated, not sure if I really wanted to go there or why, but finally said,
Were you afraid of him? Do you mean in general?
She asked quietly.
Or was that why I couldn't make myself leave?
Both. She folded her arms and leaned on them.
I was only afraid of him when he was drunk. Like, really drunk. And the rest of the time I was just miserable because we shouldn't have been married to each other. But I was also afraid to leave.
Her eyes lost focus, and I watched her pick at the label on her beer bottle as she said,
I guess I was afraid of the unknown. What I would do after I left him. and I kind of felt guilty about the idea of continuing what I was doing professionally, because I wouldn't have any of that if it hadn't been for him. So I didn't think I deserved...
She shook her head and sighed.
God, I don't even know what I was thinking of or what I was afraid of. I was scared to stay, scared to leave, and staying was just easier, because I'd done it for so long.
When he wasn't drinking, I said, were you guys always miserable together? Amy was quiet for a long moment, still playing with the edge of the paper placemat. I hurt just watching her, knowing she was back in that place she'd been before Sam's death, and I knew the answer even before she whispered.
No, we weren't. We weren't happy enough to make it in the long haul, but there were...
A slight smile formed on her lips, but her eyes were sad when she looked across the table at me.
There were some good times, too, which is part of why I ran before we'd even buried him.
I leaned over my folded arms and held her gaze.
What do you mean?
Amy swept her tongue across her lips and dropped her gaze.
Well, like I said in the truck, I had to get away from home. From the barn, the horses, my family, everything. The day after Sam died, I was suffocating from all the people and the well wishes and...
She exhaled.
And the more people were crying around me, the more I realized how much I didn't feel at all about Sam or his death or anything. I went out into the barn that night to be around the horses because that's where I'd always gone when I was unhappy. And I...
She closed her eyes for a moment and then looked at me.
I just didn't feel anything.
Nothing?
Nothing. And I thought if I stayed there another minute, I'd lose my mind. So I went back in the house and started looking around online for some place I could go. That's when I found your ad.
Her face took on a distant expression.
I guess I just went off the deep end.
Has it helped?
Hmm?
Coming out here, I asked. Has it helped you with what you needed?
It got me away from everything back home, she said dryly.
She paused, and after a moment said,
But now that you mention it, yeah. Last night aside, I felt a little better since I came here.
Good to hear, I said quietly, pretending she hadn't just escalated my pulse with that comment. You're happier here? Stay, please, Amy, stay. I knew damn well she couldn't and wouldn't stay. Not when she had a life elsewhere and had just come here to temporarily escape it. But looking at her now, I wanted her to stay, and it didn't matter why that was insane or unrealistic or why I had no business even thinking about it. Before either of us could restart the stalled conversation, the music changed. We both turned toward the dance floor, where the lines of dancers became two-stepping couples. Amy dropped her gaze. I shifted mine between her, the dancers, her again. We could sit here and wallow in everything that made us miserable while we drank and waited for our food, or we could take a desperately needed 3.5-minute breather. Trying not to fidget in my seat, I said, You know, while we're waiting for our food, do you want... The words got lost in my throat. What on earth are you doing? I coughed quietly and then tried again. As long as we're waiting, do...
Yes, I do.
You do, I almost said. But I was afraid if I did, she'd come to her senses, so I just smiled, stood, and said, After you. We headed for the dance floor, and there, among all the other couples, just like the first night I brought her here, I put an arm around her waist as she put her hand in mine and rested the other on my shoulder. She was more sure-footed this time, less uncertain about just relaxing and following me. Definitely more relaxed now, like she didn't have quite so much weight on her shoulders and wasn't working so hard to hold something back that she couldn't even keep track of her own feet, never mind mine. Granted, we weren't trying for a complicated line dance, but even still, she seemed more comfortable. After a while, she whispered,
I'm sorry again. about last night.
Don't be. I'm just sorry someone ever put you through that.
Her cheeks colored a little, and she gave a faint smile, but she didn't say anything more. Neither did I. I wasn't sure what could be said in the wake of the conversation we'd been having since we left the farm, and anyway, it was hard to talk when I was this close to her. Breathing and thinking didn't even come easily, not when my hand was on her back and her face was only a few inches from mine. God, what was I doing? What was I thinking? Last night she was coming apart, grieving a husband who didn't deserve her. She still had miles to go down that particular road, and I couldn't imagine she'd want to get involved with me or any other man right then. But dancing with her this way? I couldn't quite help getting lost and wondering what might have happened between us, if we'd met another time or place. And how much I wanted that to happen between us now, even if I knew damn well it couldn't. The song ended, and the one that followed was another slow one. Amy didn't pull away, and neither did I. And even though something deep down told me we shouldn't do this, I kept on leading her around the sparsely crowded floor, and she kept on following. We'd done this before, Amy and me, dancing to the same kind of music on this very same floor. Seemed like we were strangers then, or something close to it. And though we still were, to an extent, it was different now. Like we didn't know each other yet. And I was well past being on the cusp of wanting to know her, of wanting her. With her slightly calloused hand in mine and the small of her back warming my palm, I could barely keep myself from drawing her a little closer. Close enough I wouldn't be able to pretend this was just a friendly, platonic dance like last time. Or like last time should have been. And absolutely was not. Jesus, I was torturing myself. I was the last thing she needed right now. But I'd have been lying if I said I didn't want her anyway. Somewhere between the third verse and refrain, she smiled up at me.
I think I needed this.
My heart beat faster. Glad to help.
Much appreciated.
Her voice was softer this time, but I had no trouble hearing her over the music. And that was when I realized the space between us was shrinking. I couldn't say why. I wasn't aware of her pulling me toward her, and I didn't think I was pulling her toward me, but with every slow, steady beat of the song, there was less air between us. Our feet still moved, but God knew how or to what tempo. It was like we only moved as an excuse to keep inching closer to being dangerously close to each other. Amy had to have noticed it, too. I wondered if she lifted her chin on purpose, or if she did it subconsciously like I'd lowered my own. And when her eyes flicked from mine to my lips and back, there was no pretending we didn't know where this was going. My mouth watered with the anticipation of tasting hers. The music's slow tempo emphasized the rapid beat of my heart, and I didn't care if we shouldn't be doing this or why. I wanted to. I wanted her. The distance narrowed. Amy's hip just brushed the front of my jeans, sending electricity coursing from my very erect cock right up my spine. Her eyes slid closed, and a second later mine followed suit. I moved in until her breath whispered across my lips, and a screaming steel guitar startled us apart. By the time I realized the song had changed, we were back to a platonic distance. All the other couples on the floor separated and either went back to their tables or fell into cowboy-booted ranks for the next line dance. So Amy and I moved out of the way. Near the edge of the floor, we stopped. Our eyes met.
Did that just happen?
Hers asked.
I don't know.
Mine tried to reply.
But I kind of want it to finish happening.
She glanced toward our table and jumped again.
Oh, looks like our food showed up.
I looked the same direction, and sure enough, two plates waited for us at the table we'd abandoned.
Oh, right. Guess we should go eat.
She walked ahead of me on the way to the table, so she didn't see me run the tip of my tongue across my lip in search of the kiss that hadn't quite come to life. And somewhere between the dance floor and the table, right around the time Amy slid into her side of the booth and I sat across from her, I realized it was probably a good thing the music had changed when it had. Amy was one night into some long overdue grieving, and I was, however, temporarily, her employer. A moment like that wasn't easily forgotten, though. I saw traces of it in her eyes every time she looked at me, and relived it entirely every time one of us broke eye contact. A good 5 minutes passed before she spoke. Drumming her fingers rapidly on the table, she said,
"You asked earlier if I'd felt any different since I came here. If coming to the ranch had helped?"
"I did, yes."
I meant to tell you," she said softly, and a shy but genuine smile spread across her lips. "Working with Blue has made a difference. A big difference."
In spite of what her smile did to my pulse, I said,
"Has it?" "Yeah,"
she smiled.
"It's just different working with him. Like, the only pressure is to not put pressure on him."
Her smile broadened a little.
"It's probably the most I've enjoyed working with any horse in, God, I don't even know, years."
"Well, good." I returned the smile, pretending my stomach wasn't still wound up in knots and my heart wasn't still going crazy. Do you have any idea how badly I want you right now?" I cleared my throat. "Glad to hear it."
"So between working with Blue and..."
She cut herself off abruptly, and a hint of color bloomed in her cheeks.
"It's helped,"
she said quickly.
"A lot, so thank you."
"You're welcome," I said. "Anything I can do, just let me know." She looked me in the eye. The color lingered in her cheeks. No one said a word. "Yes, Amy, I mean it. Anything I can do." In front of our shared duplex, Amy parked beside my truck, and we both went into the barn to finish feeding and locking up for the night. Once the horses were taken care of, we walked in silence up the steps leading to our shared porch, brushing a few hay crumbs off our clothes, if only for something to do. On the porch, we stopped.
"Thank you," she said. "I'm glad we got a chance to talk."
"Me too," I said. We looked at each other as if we each wanted the other to say something, but hell if I could think of anything that wouldn't make me sound like an ass, or tip my hand and make me sound like an ass. I was afraid to even open my mouth because all I wanted to say was something to the effect of, "Come inside," or "I'm not ready for this night to be over." Amy finally broke the silence.
"Anyway, I should..." She bit her lip. "Good night, Dustin."
"Good night," I said. She put a hand on my arm, stood up on her toes, and kissed my cheek. Then, probably oblivious to the goosebumps her touch had sent prickling down my spine, she turned to go. She'd only made it a few steps when I managed to choke out, "Amy, wait." She stopped and faced me again. Ignoring my rapidly beating heart, I closed some of the distance she'd created. Not enough, probably way too much. God, what was wrong with me? We held each other's gazes again, and Amy didn't speak. Neither did I. But I was the one who'd stopped her, so that meant I needed to break the silence. And how the fuck was I supposed to do that when every time I looked at her, I thought about that moment when I'd almost kissed her? "Do you want to come in?" I finally blurted out and gestured over my shoulder at my front door. "For, I don't know, a drink?
"I think I've had enough to drink recently," she said with a shy smile.
Just before my heart could drop into my feet, she added,
"But I'm not sure I'm quite ready to call it a night."
If my heart beat any faster, I was a dead man. I swallowed.
"Good. Neither am I."
Her brow furrowed, and she cocked her head a little.
"Something on your mind?"
"You know exactly what's on my mind, Amy." I chewed the inside of my cheek and forced myself to keep looking her in the eye. Just what happened back there, I guess. Some color rushed into Amy's face and she dropped her gaze. But you came here because you hadn't felt anything for the horses in a long time, I said softly. Amy nodded.
Because I hadn't felt anything in a long time?
Right, I said. Let's just say you're not the only one who's finally feeling something they haven't in a long time. Her posture straightened.
Really?
Yeah, I whispered.
Really?
Her eyes flicked toward my lips.
So, what is it you're feeling that you haven't felt in a long time?
I gulped. I swept the tip of my tongue across my lower lip and took another step toward her, my own fearlessness sending my pulse skyward once again. With the narrowed distance between us, I was hyper aware of our height difference, of how much she had to look up to maintain this tenuous eye contact. Honestly, I said, like I really don't care right now that you work for me.
Oh,
she swallowed.
So what would you do if you weren't my boss?
The words stuck in my throat. Instead of trying to speak, I reached for her face, and Amy closed her eyes as the backs of my fingers met her cheek. The desperation in my own voice made me cringe as I said, I'm not very good at this. She opened her eyes.
You're doing just fine so far.
I moistened my lips, and finally I remembered how to speak. I know we shouldn't do this, I whispered. There are so many reasons we shouldn't, but I can't help it, Amy. All I can think about is... All at once, she grabbed my shirt and kissed me. Probably as much to shut me up as anything. My hat hit the porch at our feet in the same instant our lips met, and my entire universe stopped on a dime. No, that wasn't it. It started again, lurching back into motion for the first time since she'd shown up at my ranch. I wrapped my arms around her, and she sank against me. She let me part her lips and draw her tongue into my mouth, and her breath across my face made me shiver. Her kiss was desperate, hungry, her tongue both pleading and demanding. The hand on my neck held me to her, but her fingers twitched in my hair as if her firm grip was a futile effort to keep her hand from trembling. God only knows how long we kissed like that before we finally broke away. I was hard, and she wanted me to be. Otherwise, she wouldn't have moved her hips like that, to one side, then the other, then back, making my head spin a little faster every time she brushed past my erection. With a simultaneous release of uneven breaths, we separated. She touched my face, the soft warmth of her hand making me shiver.
I don't care why we shouldn't do this, she said. I want to.
The hand on my face went into my hair and she pulled me into another long, deep kiss. This time it was slow, the closest thing to gentle we were capable of, but it wasn't tenderness. It was restraint. This was as far as we could open the cage without letting the tiger free. She pulled me toward her until her back hit the wall, and that cage door slid a little farther open. I broke the kiss, intending to insist we shouldn't because, well, for some reason that must have made sense a moment ago, but when her hip pressed against my erection, my breath slipped silently through my lips. Her hand drifted down my side, and when she reached my belt, I knew exactly where she was going. Amy, what are... I couldn't remember how to speak, never mind what I wanted to say. She slid her hand over the front of my jeans and I closed my eyes, groaning as I let my head fall back. Squeezing me, stroking me with her fingers and palm, she teased me through my clothes until I was damn near out of my mind. Her voice soft and unsteady, she said,
Do you want to stop?
God, no. I kissed her hard and pressed my cock against her hand. I didn't know where this bold, aggressive side of her came from, but I liked it. I loved it. I want you too bad to stop. Amy whimpered, gripping the front of my shirt with one hand as her other squeezed me through my jeans.
We should go inside.
I swept my tongue across my lips. Your place or mine?
Whichever's closest.